Hey, what's up, you guys? Welcome to Season 1, Episode 4 of The World According to Ray, where we explore big topics and important issues. Today, we're talking about something serious, and that's the conflict between Israel and Palestine. This conflict has been going on for such a long time, and it's caused a lot of suffering for the Palestinian people. Sometimes, though, we forget that there are real people behind the news stories. They are families, dreams and feelings, just like you and me. As someone who supports Palestine, I want to make sure we hear their side of the story. Palestinians often don't get to share their experiences, so it's important for us to give them a voice. In our next segment, we have a special interview between my colleague M. Ismail and Tariq, a Palestinian national who used to live in Gaza, but now lives in South Africa. He has a unique perspective on the conflict, and I'm excited for you to hear what he has to say. So join us as we dive into this important conversation. Let's listen, learn, and hopefully come away with a better understanding of the situation. Because here on The World According to Ray, every voice matters.
For joining me, I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Bismillah.
Bismillah. Okay, let's start with the introduction. What's your name and where are you from?
My name is Tariq. I'm originally from Gaza Strip, from Khan Yunis City. From Khan Yunis City.
Khan Yunis. When did you get to South Africa? When did you move here?
City is in the south of Gaza Strip. And city the second biggest city on Gaza Strip after Gaza, yeah.
And when did you make your way to South Africa? What year?
2012. I moved out to South Africa. I came to study.
Can you briefly tell us what life was like when you were growing up in Gaza?
Yeah, okay. The life is difficult, you know, in Gaza Strip. It's difficult, yeah. When I grow up, it's difficult. Yeah, you know, we have many border. We have many block, and it's not easy to live under the occupation. It's not easy. Yeah, you know, you can't expect anything. This is under occupation.
Give us an example of what you mean. It was difficult. What did you go through on a daily basis?
All right. Just I want to say example of this. You know, I was study bachelor degree. This one is from it's this one university at Gaza Strip. Now, if I want to move out from Khan Yunis to Gaza, normally if it's nothing there, it's taken about 20 minutes. But because of the block and checkpoint, it's taken 1 hour. This is one example. Now, sometime I couldn't go to university because I waited at the checkpoint for 3 or 4 hours, and I had lecture, so I couldn't attend to the lecture. Some of the day I returned back to home. Yeah. And sometime when you back from, if you are lucky and everything go easy from the morning, when you come back from Gaza to Khan Yunis, to your home, they leave you there at checkpoint 3 hours, 4 hours until night at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. You still waiting until they allow you to come to the checkpoint to go home. Yeah.
What do
you see? You see, this is this checkpoint is waiting for soldier. Mm. Soldier to open the checkpoint for us. Yeah, to let you to go your home. This soldier is control your life. Yeah, this is exactly what they are doing. Yeah. Mm.
And what do they check? Do they check your paperwork? And what do they ask you, or do they just make it difficult for nothing?
Nah, you see, now most of time they don't check. But they stop you. They stop you and like this, 1 hour, 2 hours, stop you like this. And then it depend on his mood. If he's okay, he say, okay, leave them to go. If he's not, he stop you there 2 hours, 3 hours. Yeah. Sometime they have some like yard. They let you to go into the yard and check everybody and check what you have and who are you. And if they suspect or if they see some of Palestine they wanted, or they arrested immediately. But this, you see, this is example if you go to university. Now this is happening in Gaza, but before 2005, but after they moved to Israel, now there is no occupation there in Gaza Strip. Now we can go to Gaza up and down free. It doesn't take, it's too long. Now 20 minutes you will be in Gaza Strip, in Gaza City, and 20 minutes you go back home, and nobody control you now.
Okay, so the occupation has moved away since 2005.
Yeah, they moved. Yeah. Now, but this story is the same happened now in West Bank. It's the same.
Yeah, the settlement in West
Bank. It's the same, Settlement, that's correct.
So tell us more about your family, and in this conflict since October 7th, how many family members have you lost since the...
You see, since of 7 October, alhamdulillah, we are okay.
You guys
but, you know...
Your friends.
My cousin, I think she lost her leg.
Oh,
it's a girl. Yeah, because they bombed house, it's her neighbor. They bombed her neighbor and, the bomb was strong and its effect on her, and now her legs is other thing is okay. Until now Khan Yunis is not much as Gaza and North.
Well, now
we have bomb, but it's not like that. It's not like North. Now they changed the story, and now they want to going to Khan Yunis. Now they say no, the Hamas leader is in Khan Yunis. It's not in Shifa Hospital. Now they say like that.
You say that your family is okay. How do you keep in contact with them? Because the whole world is seeing what social media is showing us. What is the reality there from your family members? What they telling you?
Keeping in touch with family is difficult. Yeah.
Difficult.
You know. It's difficult, and due to the current condition and situation. Since Wednesday, I try many times to keep touch, to phone them. I couldn't.
Who's there? Who's your family there?
My wife and my kids is there.
But where do they go? There's nowhere safe in Gaza right now, especially now. And where are they seeking sanctuary? Are they staying in the hospital? Or?
No. We still now, I'm talking about my family, we still at our home. We couldn't go anywhere. We still at home.
So in Khan Yunis, there hasn't been much bombing, you're saying?
It's not like Israeli operation like Shifa and like North. It's not like
it's
that.
It's not so bad.
It's not that much.
It's
a little bit. But there's bomb. They bomb, but it's not like...
they're doing what in the North. But
you
now
know, in the North, they came to street and they go to hospital and... they kill everyone there. In South, they bomb some of houses, but they can't walk in the street, they can't move around. until now.
Let's talk a bit more about life before Nakba Day.
Before Nakba, Palestine was nice.
Was nice.
And it was nice. And there was peace.
Hmm.
You know, Christian, Muslim, even Jewish, they live with each other and nothing there. Yeah.
Peaceful.
And and you know, Bethlehem is
sacred.
It's a Christian city. Everybody pray and go to Bethlehem, the Christian. Yeah. And many of, there's a lot of business there in Palestine, and there is life. There is life. And most of people, they were rich. They have money and they have gold and they have everything.
Oh, man, they had a good
life.
But
suddenly, you know, suddenly, now everything is gone. And now they become refugee and,
Let's draw the comparison before Nakba Day to after Nakba Day and talk about the restrictions on movement, the land dispossession, segregation, checkpoints, which you started speaking about, and the limits of trade. Give me an example of how that has changed since Nakba Day.
Okay. You know, restriction of movement. Now, this is example now. If you want to move out from Gaza, for example, from Gaza to anywhere in the world, this one is longest tour, is longer. Now, if you want to go now to travel from South Africa to anywhere, it doesn't take with you just 1 hour, 2 hours, and everything will be okay. There, we need 1 day, 2 days, sometime 1 week to come out from where you stay to whatever, wherever. Yeah, now they say, no, you have to give me your name to check on your name, and then I'm going to give you permission to allow you to travel somewhere. This is, sometimes they do that. And some of them, sometimes they say, okay, this guy, I don't want him to travel. Let's leave him like this. Many of Palestinians want to study outside. They can't because of Israel. This is the restriction of movement.
You got lucky. That's why your family couldn't get out.
You know, this, I remember when they were in Gaza Strip, 2004 and 2000, before they moved out from Gaza Strip. We have Rafah border. Rafah border, this one was between Israeli and Egyptian, but now it's Palestinian and Egyptian.
Mm.
But you must put your name 1 month ago to check, and if you are not involved, on resistance or whatever, they will tell you go out. If you or any of your relatives involved, they will not allow you to travel. Sometimes they say, okay, you allow and you have permission to travel, and when you come there, they arrest you.
Give us a bit of example of the land disposition.
Land is a many of a story, you know, many of a story.
Example,
in land,
a personal, no, personal
if they want to any you know if they want any land, they take that. Mm. Or
where do they send
any,
you any, you gotta make a plan.
Sorry?
So if they take your house, you have to just make a plan to go stay with your friend or something.
No, they take it firstly and they change the law and they do everything for them. You see, as what happened to in Jerusalem, they say, no, this one is a refugee land and, it's illegal. But this one is illegal for Palestinian. But they move them and then put Israeli inside the home, and it will be legal now. They change the law and they change everything to be okay for them. Any land, any water, they want to take it, they take it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anything they want to take it, they will take it.
And you can't do anything because they have guns in your face.
Yeah, because we can't do anything. You know, most of the statement is illegal in international law.
Mm.
But they still take it and they still destroy everything and take it. Yeah.
And talk a bit more on your trade. If you want to start a business, what are you excluded from doing?
You see, I'm talking about Gaza Strip now.
Yeah, Gaza.
Gaza Strip. Now we have, they made Gaza Strip as a camp. Now this camp, they don't allow anyone to come in and come out, except if you, until you get permission from Israel. Now Israel check everything come in Gaza Strip. What if fruit, flour, whatever, they check and they allow. But if something happened now, like the war now in Gaza, they said, okay, we closed the border and we will not allow anything to come in Gaza. Even the fuel, this come to electricity, this come to from them. Yeah, this is, they want to control everything. Everything. Now you are, if you try to depend on yourself, to make yourself free, a little bit free, they will destroy you. Yeah.
Jesus, man. They control
everything. That's why now we are controlled by them. No. If you flour, fruit, food, anything, yeah, must come to them and then check and give you permission to come to Gaza Strip. Sometimes they say no, this one is what's called is a dual uses. They will not allow. You see some like cement. They say no, this one is dual uses. You can use it for tunnel. You can use it for whatever. But, you see, they will not allow. Sometimes they don't allow. Sometimes they allow to UN, for UN building and for UN operation. But they don't allow to civilian and many people to build and to even rebuild what they do, what they bomb.
Yeah, so even if you want to build a house for your family, then
it's difficult.
Very difficult. It's difficult. And they can even come and take it from you.
Yeah, it's difficult. You know, it's not easy, you know, like in South Africa, you know, now I want to build a house, 20 days, 1 month, it will be done.
Mm.
No, there's, you must wait 3 months, 4 months until get cement. Mm-hmm. Until you get cement and the stuff.
Then you need to get steel.
To build your house.
Then you need this and you have to wait months.
Yeah. Until many investigation about you.
Oh,
who are you and what
do
you need? Yeah, and what you need is because they don't want the cement to go to Hamas for tunnel and whatever.
So this Hamas story has been a very long road. So they're holding you in check because of Hamas. Because of Hamas's operation. They want you to make sure you're not part of them.
Yeah, you see, Hamas is not from long time. Hamas is coming from 1986. This crime, this is before, from 47 and from 1948. Hamas is come now.
40 years
now
later.
Now they make reason now because of Hamas, because of what? Because, but yeah.
So what you're basically saying, all that you mentioned has been going on since 1948. Hamas has come into the picture 40 years later and they're continuing, they're justifying doing it for you for 40 years.
Yes. From 75 years.
Because of Hamas, I can't allow you to do this. I can't allow it because of Hamas, but they've been doing it for the past 40 years before Hamas.
Before Hamas, yes, they do it like this. But there's different way. They occupy your land, they occupy your home, they kill you, they arrest you for non-reason. They before Hamas come. Now Hamas come now, and now they make reason, because of Hamas. But before, they kill everyone for no reason.
And that must make you like really angry, but I'll touch on that a little later. We have a few more questions. So now ask you, there are Muslims staying in Israel. Do they allow Muslim people
Muslim.
In Israel? Yeah.
Yeah. You see, you have to know some story before I say yes or no. Now when, for 1948, when they come and they fight, and you know, fight like now, what they do in Gaza Strip now, is fight and bomb every city and every, some of people move out of forcibly move out from, you know, Jaffa, from Tel Aviv and whatever, and they came to, some of them went to Lebanon, some of them to Syria, some of them to Gaza, some of them in West Bank, some of them they stay inside and they didn't move. This people now they say, okay, this one, this Palestinian, we can't do anything with them, okay, leave them, and they are Muslim. Yeah, they are Muslim and they still there, but now there is discrimination of them also. They give them Israeli ID, but they know this is Arab and Palestinian. They are not Israeli original.
So
they're discriminating of them also.
Openly discriminatory and very openly racist. It has nothing to do with the fact that you are.
Yeah, that's
potential Hamas leader, since you've stayed in Israel your whole life, they discriminate towards Muslims. That's what you're trying to say.
Yeah, it's just...
So if I was from South Africa...
But they suffer also.
No, no, if I was South African and I'm Muslim and I go and live in Israel, I got business there, for example, will they treat me badly because of my religion?
You see, what I know before now, most of South Africa, they went there. Most of them, they went to Al-Aqsa. The young person, they stop them and they investigate with them for many time. And they ask because they are Muslim and they are Muslim and they stop them because they are afraid of. Now you say it's if you have business there and you know I don't think so. You will they will have discrimination of they afraid of Muslim and who's ever to come there because they say maybe you will support Palestine.
Oh, okay. So it's very openly anti-Muslim in Israel. Very open.
You know, I don't know if you know, but me, I met many people from South Africa. Mm. They go to with their family. Mm. You know, if you are age after 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, they allow you without any but if you're under 50 years, if you are, for example, young, 30 years or 25 years, they stop and investigate where you're going and for who and what you're going to do.
Even if you're from South Africa, even if you're from...
Even you are South African, who's ever? Even you are South African, you must, they must investigate why you come and for what you want to come. If you say, I'm coming for Aqsa, okay, Aqsa, but where are you gonna
stay
until they investigate and make sure you are there is no dangerous from you and they can allow you. But this one is not easy. It's after 3 hours, 4 hours.
That's gonna lead on to the next one. You say there's a lot of Muslim people with Israeli identity documents, and I know there's a lot of Palestinians that do work in Israel that are stuck in Israel right now undergoing a lot of challenges. But what happens if you find a girl that you want to get married to and she's Israeli and you're a Palestinian who's just working in Israel and they want to get married, can they?
You mean Muslim
to Muslim? I'm not saying Muslim to Jewish. I'm saying Muslim to Muslim. One is Palestinian, one Israeli.
This one is fine. You know because why? Because originally they are Palestinian. They are Palestinian and they have same culture. They have same religion. It's the same, but they have, I have a Palestinian identity and they don't have anything. They have Israeli identity. That's what they have. Yeah. For they call it we call them is Arab 48. Those Arab 48, originally they are Palestinian.
Mm. Let's go a bit more into the current affairs. Why do you think so many Palestinian children are held by the Israeli authorities? What do you think their crimes are? And we're talking kids under the age of 15, under the age of 12.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to summarize it. Today Hamas and occupation army, they have agreement today to release some of children and some of women. You know what they charge of most of children? They charge them, the charge is throw stone. Throw stone. They charged them for 1 year, 2 years. One of them, until now, he has been 12 months in a prison just because he threw a stone.
And that's coming from this the is anger one of, towards how they're treating them and treating their parents and hitting their parents for nothing.
Yeah.
And you're just throwing a stone.
Some of them, until now, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years without charge. Just keep them like this. You don't know anything about yourself. What happened, what I did, you don't know. But they put you in the prison. Until now, I think from tomorrow they will release, I think, 150 Palestinian women and children. One of women just she moved out from her old house to a new house. But during when she moved out, she had no cylinder, the gas cylinder. She put it in the her car and she went to move it to a new house. During the way, something happened and it is bombed, the gas cylinder is bombed. Israel suspect and arrest her, that lady, arrest her. She burned, her face burned and her body burned. They arrest her. They didn't allow her to go to hospital. They arrest her and they say she tried to make operation or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This one, about 5 years in a prison without treatment, without anything. Yeah.
Sure.
Tomorrow, inshallah, she will be released.
Inshallah, Amin. While we're on the topic of children, and it's very obvious the Israeli army is targeting children, even though they say their story about a human shield. Do you think they're targeting children to take out the next generation of future Hamas leaders? Do you think that's their reason? Why do they target children?
They kill children, you know, because they know. I don't know why, but I say maybe because they breed of children, because they know children, they will come
and be angry.
And they're angry. They pray of the Palestinian children, because they know the children will turn into strong fighter after this war. So they want to keep them or seek to get rid of them early. Most of them is now in this war, 20,000 person died. Half of them, 10,000, are children and women. Yeah.
Obviously, there's a lot of anger between Palestinians, mm-hmm. but you seem a bit calm, and also on videos, how people, obviously the iman is quite strong there, looking at it from an Islamic point of view. But there's a lot of anger, and how are the people coping with what's going on now? How are they keeping their hopes up, and how are they managing completely losing their mind?
You see, the hope, the only thing they have now is to still alive.
Mm.
That's what they hope, also to stop the war and genocide. You know, this is the situation there. If you are not die from the rocket and from missile, you will die from hunger. This is genocide. Now you say how they hope. There is no hope. Until now, there is no hope. Even before the war, there is no hope. You know, because we suffer many times. There is no money come to your country. You can't do anything. You can't come out. If you want to trade, you can't. Electricity doesn't have. We have hope from Allah. He will give us victory.
Inshallah.
And that's why this one, Allah, He make us stand, make us strong. You know, because we are not die from accident or from whatever. We die from our land and from jihad and like this.
It's a big question for me. What message would you like to convey to the world? How can we support Palestine and raise awareness for the situation in Gaza from a former Gaza resident such as yourself? What message you want to convey?
The message I will say, don't leave Palestine and Gaza alone, because there is now is genocide happening now. The killing is continuing now. Yeah. Every person, each of us, they can do what they have or what they have. You know, you can send our voice to the world from social media, from media, from radio, newspaper, especially now from boycott. The boycott is very important, because without this money, they can't support Saudi. Yeah, this is...
That's our
opinion. Don't leave Palestine and Gaza alone, please.
Thank you so much, Tariq. I really appreciate it. This was wonderful.
Sure.
And thank you so much for your time. Inshallah, Allah keeps your family safe and finds
you welcome anytime.
And peaceful.
I appreciate your support. And inshallah, I will be free. Inshallah.
Thank you so much, Dari. Assalamu alaikum.
You're welcome. Wa alaikum salam. You're welcome anytime. Assalamu alaikum.
And that is it for episode 4 of The World According Today. As we've come to the end of this insightful interview, I want to thank M. Ismail for conducting such an amazing interview, and Tariq for sharing his perspectives with us. Hearing first-hand accounts like Tariq's reminds us of the human side of the Palestine-Israel conflict and the importance of listening to diverse voices. If you found this conversation thought-provoking, be sure to subscribe to The World According to Ray for more in-depth discussions on pressing global issues. You can subscribe on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, or Spotify. Together, we can continue to challenge perceptions, foster empathy, and strive for a more just and understanding world. Until next time, remember, every conversation has the power to make a difference.